Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam. How are you doing this Monday morning?
Hi, Rafilwe. Well, it is a Monday and there's no escaping that. But
I love a Monday.
What the hell? Good morning.
I find the week kicks off very well when the week starts off very well when you fall in love with Monday and don't resist Monday. Monday's a nice day. It's a happy day.
Give in to Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't follow Monday to a second place, as we know from what you were saying.
Exactly. Speaking of kidnap, what's happening in Haiti?
Yeah. 17 Christian missionaries, seemingly all of them American citizens. Three of them seem to be children of missionaries, but so 14 missionaries and three kids have been kidnapped, it appears, by a hardline gang in Haiti, in the capital, Port-au-Prince. The kidnapping happened as the missionaries were leaving an orphanage. So a brazen crime seems to have happened in broad daylight, but in a crime-ridden country, they have a right problem with this, and particularly since the assassination of the Haitian president, Jovenel Moïse.
Right.
Now, it felt like kidnapping was dying down. Other kinds of crime were absolutely on the up. But now the kidnappings are back, and compounded, of course, by the problems of poverty and lawlessness. And as we know, after the earthquake, there were issues with rescue gangs and emergency teams getting across Haiti because of the presence of these gangs. Indeed, there have been something close to 330 kidnappings in Haiti so far this year, just this year.
Jeez.
And in some cases, they have demanded $1 million or so for as a ransom. In other cases, a couple of hundred. What happens with these Americans? Oh, don't know.
I mean, have they ever been successful with those kidnappings and those ransoms?
Apparently so. But I guess to some extent, this is considerably more profile, because the moment you start kidnapping foreign nationals of any kind, and you know how the American diplomatic sector, the U.S. embassy, can react to these things, it can get pretty giddy. But yeah, what kind of price tag they put on these poor people, and if it can just end peacefully, well, that's the wish of everyone. But I also would think that the U.S. government can't be seen to be paying. Otherwise, what does that uncork?
Correct. Hence that old line, you know, we don't negotiate with terrorists, right? They don't try to open
that. That's it.
Speaking of safety, not great for a British politician, hey? Mm. Sorry to hear this.
No, this is the murder on Friday, it happened, of the Conservative MP, Sir David Amiss. He's not one of those sort of starry names. He was never a minister, but liked and respected by many, knighted because of his services to his country. He's a long-standing MP, aged 69, a father of five, and well-respected by the opposition, which is always a good sign that he was a good man doing the right things. Killed after a constituency meeting, so one of these, as they call them, political surgeries, as happened 5 years ago with a Labour MP, Jo Cox. She was murdered after meeting with constituents at her political surgery. So there are two big things here. They appear to have caught the suspect, at least there's a suspect in police custody. But number one, he was known, this guy, Ali Harbi Ali, he was known to MI5, but not a, quote, person of interest several years ago. Had he become radicalized? Was the counterterrorism watch list adequate? It does appear that if he's guilty, then he slipped through a net of some kind. But also, number two, if this is 2 in 5 years, and any number of MPs here report threats on a daily basis, then the whole point of democracy, of course, is that we should be able to see our MP. If you've got a grievance, an issue,
absolutely,
a problem, whatever, we should be able to go and see our politicians. But at what price? And if their safety is compromised, then does that mean armed guards or police officers in attendance constantly? And what does that mean for democracy is the other open-ended question.
And certainly, let me tell you, from an African country, like, what you don't want is politicians that are running around with huge VIP security around them.
Exactly.
Know, it's such a terrible look. First of all, they're not enjoying their countries as they should be, which indicates that, they are protecting themselves from a danger that they won't protect their own constituents from. And then finally,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Colombia, wild hippos.
Did you know about these?
I had no idea there were hippos anywhere else in the world.
I know. Isn't it weird? They didn't get there by accident. Indeed, it is the largest herd of hippos outside of Africa, at least it's thought to be.
Wow.
80 of them or so on the loose in Colombia. What happened was, way back when, I mean, 30 plus years ago, the drug lord Pablo Escobar developed a kind of largesse and a luxury lifestyle. And one of the things he liked to do was import wild animals. He had any number of wild animals in his kind of compound in Colombia, including male and female hippos. Now, ultimately, when he was shot dead by police 28 years ago, they broke up his whole empire, etc., etc. They put most of the animals in zoos. But they thought, oh, well, we'll let the hippos roam in the jungle. I mean, what harm can they do? And anyway, they'll die out. Well, 30 years later, they've been breeding like hippos, I suppose. And suddenly there are 80 of them. And indeed, they are causing all sorts of problems in the South American jungle because there are no natural predators for them, far too big for, say, a jaguar or anything like that. They are displacing other animals, fish. They are said to be altering the ecosystem of the River Magdalena. So the hippos are now being sterilized one by one. It's a strange world, isn't it?
That is so hilarious. Also, I completely forgot. Of course, I remember the Pablo Escobar, like, zoo, basically. Mm-hmm. Zoo. That's amazing. All right. Lovely story to end on. Thank you so much, Adam Gilchrist, with your worldview.